that parents came with their own agenda and you arrived without a rule book, but probably eventually lots of expectations, then we can understand where some of these breakdowns start to happen. The second thing I want to discuss is the process of grieving. For the purpose of today, grieving is denial, and that is, betrayal usually happens by somebody that is close to us, and we like to think of the best of the people close to us. We like to think that our parents wanted to do the right things. We like to think that our friends want to do the right things. So we often don't want to see when somebody's betrayed us. So denial is the first aspect. You know, are you pretending that you weren't betrayed? Once you break through the denial, there's anger and sadness that has to happen. And they happen all the same time. One day you may be angry, one day you may be sad. What I recommend during that is that when you're angry, get yourself physically exhausted, beat pillows. When you're sad, rent sad movies and sit in the privacy of your own home and cry, because I think that's important. And then the key to what I'm going to talk about today is the next part of your grieving, and that has to be, you cannot stay in why me? Why did this happen to me? You cannot ruminate about, I can't believe this happened to me. What you have to do is go to, what are my lessons? And I'm not saying in any way that you are responsible for what happened. What I am saying is you want to become more conscious and you want to see what you might have missed. So let's take some examples, and then I want people to ask questions so that if you're struggling with betrayal, you feel like you got something. So let's start with a friend. If a friend betrays a confidence or a friend betrays you in some way, there's a sadness to that. You need to look at, how long did you know this friend? Was this friend someone that you thought you could trust? What was the confidence? What did you tell this friend? Was that something maybe about your marriage? Was it something that maybe should have gone to a professional? What was your thinking when you talked to this friend? You know, I think all of us would like to see the best in our friends, and I think friends make mistakes, but I think after you get through the sadness of a friend, you can't believe they did what they did, you know, take a look and see what happened there, what was your part in it? Was the information too confidential for the person, or was the person not who you thought they were? The next one, which I think is a very painful one, is when somebody cheats on you. So if we start with dating, and if you're in the dating world, I think it's really important that you have standards and that you're able to share those standards with someone. So if you want to be that person who's very accommodating and you don't bring up the fact that you want to bring monogamy and you want that person to bring monogamy, so many people come to me and they've been cheated on, but they never had that conversation. Are you that person who might just assume because you brought monogamy that someone else brought monogamy? Are you afraid to say, this is who I am, I'm a great offer for you, and these are my standards, this is what I want from a dating relationship? I think Steve Harvey, I don't know if you know him, but he's written a great book called Act Like a Lady, Think Like a Man. And he feels very strongly that you know, insurance companies, you don't get your insurance, you don't get your benefits for 90 days. I have a philosophy that it takes 90 days for people to start to show who they really are. So you can get to see someone. Dating is a research project. Dating is, who is this person? How do they treat people? How do they treat their parents? Can you count on them? Do they keep their agreements? And monogamy has to be in there as well. If you're just into dating for sex, then you don't have to worry about that. So be that person that says, this is who I am and I have standards, and if you want to play with me, this is how it has to happen. The betrayal that I think is probably one of the worst that I've seen in this country. I can't imagine living in a country where you have to worry about your neighbors killing you. But in this country is when somebody's husband betrays them with their best friend. It's a double betrayal, particularly if you have a marriage of any length of time, if you have your friendship of any length of time, and I have seen this happen to people. I've had too many of these cases. It's one of the most painful that you can imagine. I would say in this case, you have to really go through the grieving process. You have to allow the sadness, the anger, and you'll probably be in denial for a while, but you really have to allow the sadness and the anger to take their time. This is not something you get over in a day, a month. I think when it's a best friend and a husband or a best friend and a wife, that can take years. I think it takes working with a professional to sort that out. And I think you have to be really clear. When I say, I want you to understand your part in the betrayal, I am not saying in any way that you ever caused it. Because if I stand in a room and I scream at you, you can hit me, you can scream back, you can walk away, you can call the police. You have a lot of choices of what you can do to me. I did not cause you to do any of them. So nothing you do causes someone to betray you. And that's really important when you're hurting with betrayal. And I'll tell you why. Because when people do something like cheat on you or cheat on you with your best friend, they're going to make up a big story on why that was okay. And part of that story is going to be to blame you. So you need to be armed that if somebody is trying to blame you for betraying you, you can't take that. You don't want to ever buy into that. And when you're thinking about how did this happen, it would be very natural to go to what did I do, how did I cause this, but you didn't cause it. You know, and I've seen people try to blame someone. We were fighting all the time. It doesn't matter if you're fighting all the time. If you're fighting all the time, the person can take you and say, we need to go to therapy. Betraying you, cheating on you, is not an answer to a behavior that you might have. That's a choice that they make. So when I say, okay, let's get your lessons, I am not saying you're responsible. What I am saying is you ask questions. You say to yourself, you know, did I pick a partner whose head gets turned if somebody strokes their ego? Did I pick a flirt? Did I pick someone who's weak emotionally? Did I say to myself, I would never do this, so they would never do this? What did I miss? What do I need to do? There's an old saying, betray me once, shame on you. Betray me twice, shame on me. I just want you to get your information, because I don't know anybody that's gone through life not being betrayed, but you want to be betrayed less than more. So when I say ask questions, and particularly in this instance, I mean very, very gently. The best thing you want to do is to heal from betrayal, because we all know the best revenge is good living. You need to forgive yourself. You need to forgive the other people. You need to open up your heart again. And at the moment when it happens, you think, there's no way I can ever do that. And I am here to tell you, you can, you should, and people have. If you live in the betrayal, if you get stuck in the betrayal, then the people who betrayed you, they win. There's a wonderful quote, forgive yourself for the blindness that let others betray you. Sometimes a good heart doesn't see the bad. You're not responsible for another person's action. What you do want to take responsibility is for, what did I miss here? Because I don't want that to happen to me again. And oftentimes what I see is, particularly in a marriage, where someone's betrayed in one marriage and someone's betrayed in another marriage, and the marriages break up, and then the two people who were betrayed get together. Well, you don't want that person to pay for what happened to you. So it's very important in your process to heal, to get your lessons, to understand who that person was in your life, how they got in your life, to move forward and to pick someone who maybe is more like you, if that's not what you would do. I think in terms of friends, if you have friends that betray your confidence, and you have labeled, hey, this is something, can you hold this confidence? If you have done your due diligence and you say to me, this is a friend of 5 to 10 years, 15 years, 2 years, I've never had a problem, and that person betrays you, then the only thing that is left for you to do is to move that person further out. They're not on the inner circle. I believe that the people on the inner circle have to be able to hold confidences. They have to have your back, even if there are times you only have one person there, or maybe you don't have anybody there for a while. But the inner circle, you want those people that you can count on, those are the people that have your back. And betrayal is not having your back. Now, I can say so much more on this. I don't know if anybody here has had this, being betrayed by a spouse and a friend, with your friend. I can say a lot about that, because the healing of that, okay, wait a minute, Sandra. Having difficulty accessing the conference via the internet connection, I see myself listed on roster of attendees, however, I can't hear it. Joan, let's see, Joanne. Do you have a mic? Sorry, I'm just trying to connect with this one person who... Uh, is not able to get on. Okay. I don't know if you can see the recommendations that are being made for you. You can do the call-in number. The message you sent me was that you can't hear me, so I'm not sure. If you can look in the chat box, you can see how to get in. The call-in number, I'll just say it in case you can hear me, 641-715-0632. Access code 328-270. The other pain about having your spouse betray you with your best friend is that it's not like you can move away from them. Chances are you usually have children and you have to see these people and you have to figure out a way how to maintain your dignity. In a lot of betrayal, that's a big part of the recovery, is how do you not go down to their level? How do you maintain your dignity? How do you recover so that you don't allow them to be someone you don't want to be? That is all part of the recovery. And then when you've been betrayed by your spouse and you have to see them every day because you have children, or you have to see them every day with your best friend, that takes a lot. It takes a lot of strength. It's going to build courage in you. It's not a way I advocate that you get character and courage, but to survive that, you will have to. I'm going to touch on the last area that I talked about, which I think is also very painful, and then I'd like people to ask questions about betrayal that they might have had or that they know a friend who's had or that they're experiencing now. The last one I talked about, and I can talk for days about this because it is so... Okay, so here's a good question. I have a problem with letting go. I want them to have karma visit them with me standing there. Explain a little more that one. You want to beat them up? You want to see them suffer? I understand that, but if you see the letting go, I'll speak to this until I hear more, but if you see the letting go as benefiting you, yeah, there's sayings about taking the high road. It's not the high road. It's the high road for you. It's the forgiveness for you. It has nothing to do with them. Think of the betrayal as a swamp, and you're climbing out of it. Because if the betrayal wins, you're stuck in the swamp with the people who betrayed you. The forgiveness, so many people think forgiveness means, okay, it was fine that you did that. That's not what forgiveness is. Forgiveness is, I'm killing my body with this ruminating about you. And I don't want to kill my body anymore. All right, my experience is that karma works. And... My experience also is that it doesn't work on my time frame, that it probably works whenever it's supposed to work. So if you can shift yourself from the revenge, I want the revenge, I want them to get the justice, what's even worse for them is if it doesn't matter to you anymore. If you have moved on and your life is so good, that's what is worse for them. If you could finally see that, they sort of win if they got anything out of betraying you, if you stay down there with them. But if you're moving on, like they're just a mosquito that you just slapped and you're done and over with, that's worse for them. And I have to tell you, I've been around long enough that I've seen the karma work. And sometimes that's not as gratifying. Okay, good. Sometimes that's not as gratifying as moving on and having a great life. And when somebody mentions the name, you're like, oh, I remember that. I can't remember what happened, but I remember it was bad. And that is so much better than groveling around with them. So I'll tell you one that's really hard to let go of. And I'll tell you an interesting story. I don't know, I heard this by hearsay, so I can't tell you it's actually right, but I like the story and I like the visuals. So something called parental alienation syndrome. It's when parents get divorced and one parent decides that they're going to brainwash the children against the other parent. So there's so much betrayal here. The child is betrayed because the child should have two parents. The spouse is betrayed because they've lost their children and the spouse. And the spouse is betrayed because they've lost their children. So, and that one doesn't go away because the children, what you have to understand is children can't stand up to that brainwashing parent as long as they are in there. That's who they depend upon. Divorced children have already lost their family. So that's a huge loss and abandonment. And then if you have the expectation that they should stand up to this bad parent, they can't do that because they've already lost too much and that they're too vulnerable. So they have to go along with it. I can tell you some wonderful stories of children that I've seen who know they're being brainwashed, and know if they come home with good stories about the other parent, that brainwashing parent is going to take those stories and turn them around and make negative comments about their other parent. So I've seen kids who maybe just went to Disneyland with the alienated parent, and when they're asked by the brainwashing parent, so what did you do? Nothing. Oh, it was boring. Children are smart. They figure that stuff out, some of them. So if you can understand how difficult it is for children, and if you can focus only on the child, if you have access to the child and you can focus only on the child, connecting with the child, so the child's feeling, emotional body is happy when they're with you, when they get that negative information from the brainwashing parent, it won't match. Gosh, that's funny. That's not how I feel with dad or mom. I feel pretty good. We have a good time. They seem to understand me. They won't say that, but somewhere it'll register. And then some professional like me will say, so who are the good guys and who are the bad guys in your family? And you know, I was told this person was a bad guy, but it didn't feel that way when I was with them. I was told a story about a father. This was a man he got divorced and the mother brainwashed the kids against him. He spent lots of money and lots of time for several years fighting his wife. Unfortunately, the courts haven't caught up with PAS or emotional abuse or brainwashing. So you feel like you're betrayed twice because the courts keep saying, make nice, be nice, and that won't work in these situations. He finally gave up. And when each child turned 18, or at the moment that they could stand up to that parent, he gave them the court records so they could decide for themselves. And the last I heard was that, you know, he reconnected with his children, and they didn't really want much to do with the other one. Now, that's not great, but the injustice that was done to him is unacceptable. So betrayal in that sense, not only do you have to heal, go through the anger thing, and again, this may be just something, maybe you knew that the person was abusive in the marriage and you decided to stay because you thought you could make things better for the kids, and maybe it became worse when you left. I don't know what the lessons are, but I do know that the grief of having your children turn against you is something that goes on and on and on. And that is, again, something that you have to recover from, and something that you have to tactically and strategically work with a professional who's worked with families like that to figure out how to be. Now, I am welcoming any questions. I'm going to turn. This is new to me. All right, so if anybody has questions, please ask them, and I'll figure out if I can do this. Either put them in the chat box or speak them. All right, so I have to figure out, hold on. Okay, I got to unmute. All right, so I think you can ask, is this Celtic Duck? Oops. Okay, hello. Is there someone there who can ask a question? Oh, shoot. Hello?
Hi, this is Lina. I'm just checking to see if everyone's unmuted.
Yes.
Okay, so now I can hear some people. Is Nancy there? It looks like you have a question.
Yep.
Okay.
Yes. What you were talking about, which is the believing that karma will they will be visited one day, whatever, you know, that takes a lot of personal energy to go from, okay, I'm climbing out of this swamp. I'm not going to be, you know, the piece of littered gum that you know, I'm not going to pick them up like in that way. And so, but how do you make this?
Sorry about that. How can you, what was the last part? All right, I lost Nancy. Are you there, Nancy?
Okay, yes.
Okay, so, last I lost you was, it takes a lot of energy.
It takes a lot of energy to say you're not going to be, you know, you're going to pull yourself out of the swamp that person put you in, or you also chose to be in there.
I don't,
because that is
strong.
Important.
Yeah, it's too strong. You chose. I just think it happened. And now what are we going to do?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And, you know, it's hard to go to the, I'm going to just let the universe take care of it, let God take care of it, whatever. That's a really hard thing to do. Do you have any suggestions for that? Because so far what you've said, you know, helps a lot. I just, that crossing to that point of quieting, you know, the desire to take charge of the situation and the justice it deserves.
You can't be that person. You cannot. We were not appointed as other people's to make sure the karma happens to them. That takes a lot of energy. The only energy you need to be focused on is how do I get out of here? How do I get out of here? I don't want to think about them. I want to make something nice happen in my life today. I want today to be a good day. How do I get out of here? What do I do? And the more, if you wake up, with the chatter, the more you do that, that drains you.
Right.
So, I mean, all of us have been there. What I would say, you know, when I'm in that place, I go, stop, enough. I've had a man say to me, I had a man say to me, you know, when the voices start in the morning, I say to them, okay, you got 10 minutes, have at it. And then at 10 minutes, I shake their hand and say goodbye.
Excellent.
I mean, it's like there's stuff like that. So, all right, let's try for a next question. Do we have another question? And who would it be? It might be better if you type your questions. Oh, here's a maybe that's a question. Oops. I see that there are questions. So if someone has one, could you type it? Or is there someone on the line with me who's unmuted? I hear someone. Hello. Okay. Do other people have questions about how to move through it, how to get to forgiveness? Okay, I can't hear people, so. All right, so can everybody hear me, and can you unmute yourself and talk if somebody has a question? Oh, here we go. Okay, thank you. My ex cheated on me with a married man from our church school. She continues to take leadership roles with things like school parties, Girl Scouts. I can't seem to get away from her. What do you recommend? This is not a wife. It is a wife. Okay. Are you still married? Okay. You're getting divorced. So you'll be bound by the kids. What I recommend is what you say you're having a hard time doing. You will be connected with her through the children, and you are the second example of somebody cheating on you. I don't know how new it is, but you need to give yourself a break for a year. Your job is to get up, to go to work, put one foot in front of the other, be angry, be sad. And I always recommend, and other people always recommend, the less you can see the person, I recommend that all the pickups that you can arrange, have them be at school so you don't have to see each other. You know, if you have three kids, that's going to be a tough one, because there will be parties that you have to go to and you have to pick up. It's going to take time. Your body gets triggered every time you see her. She seems to continue to be sort of active. So you just have to be prepared that when you do see her, your body will be triggered. Shake it out, whatever you can physically. But take different routes. I mean, you know, I moved here from a very small town, and I had to coach people on how to recover. And you would be surprised how you go down the same route, you go to the same places, go to different places than where this person goes. I know you don't have a choice with the children, but tell yourself, you know, I can do something different. I don't care if your whole life was around everything that she likes and you like. If she's going to keep doing it, I would get away in any way I could, different restaurants, different walks, different streets, because you're bound together by the kids and you don't have a lot of choice. If you're in the process of getting divorced, please tell your lawyer, I tell everybody, tell your lawyers to do most of the pickups at neutral places, such as school. But it's really, if you're, no, I wouldn't quit what you're doing. I would keep, and you know, this is what's sad for me, is that if it's difficult between you and your soon-to-be ex, that the kids are going to be sensitive to that. I have kids who tell me, you know, when I'm at my game and my parents are in the stand, I'm watching them. I'm not watching my game. So you want to try to keep your stuff together in front of the kids, but I don't think you should quit the things that are important to you. I just think you should do little things like take different roads, go to different restaurants, find a different gym, whatever it is that has nothing to do with the kids. And you can do something different, I would do that. Sometimes people cheat on you and then they want to tell the world that you're best friends, which makes what they did not so bad in their eyes. Because look, we're best friends. You probably don't want to be part of that. Is that what you think she's trying to do in that case? Is, you know, she wants to, people who betray you, cheat on you, often want to make it look nice. And the fastest way they can do that is just what I said. Look, oh, we're best friends. It couldn't have been that bad what I did. But you don't want to participate in that. I mean, you don't want to go around saying, being the person that everybody says always bitter and resentful, but you have a right to be devastated. If you're new and new to this, no, I don't think you want to be friends like we do stuff together, but you don't want it to be difficult for the kids. So you want to be politically correct when you're with the kids, and you want to get your own life going. And if you've lost friends, my assessment is the truth eventually comes out. And so what you need to do is keep doing the coaching. You need to keep being the best parent you can. And you need to focus on yourself, getting yourself healthy, getting yourself through this, grieving, the sadness, the anger. What are my lessons? What did I miss? And honestly, if you focus on what I'm saying, you don't have enough time for the other stuff. You don't have enough time to be there, you know, the person that they, that needs to get their karma to come to them. But take a look at yourself. What would you like to do differently? You know, I've had people say to me, I wasn't a great wife in the first marriage. I wasn't a great husband in the first marriage. I don't want to do that again. That's a healthy person. I'm not saying that's you, but I think that's a healthy process. But it is upsetting because you usually don't know what the person is doing when they want to cover up what they've done. All right, I am going to try and get this other question. It looks like somebody on the phone. Okay, can you hear me? 948-2292? Or no? All right. Does somebody have a question? Does anybody who can hear me have a question?
No.
I can.
Okay, go ahead. Looks like I have two questions here, and I don't know how to get to them. But
I'm 2292. I can hear you, but I don't have a question.
Okay. Okay. All right. All right, so let's just throw this out. What do you do if somebody is talking badly about you? What can you do? If it's to the children, if it's to other people, I mean, people don't want to be called into a difficult marriage. But if you have the opportunity, and people who take sides often don't interview both sides. So if you have the opportunity, I don't recommend you go around speaking about your divorce, but you just speak the truth. If it's with your kids and your kids are being told that you're not giving any money or you're not providing for them or they're being told lies, I think you correct that. If it's your friends, you know, take them out for coffee and let them see who you are and try to reestablish. I don't know what is meant by a narcissist smear campaign. So if somebody wants to explain that. But again, this is what happens. If I don't like the things that I've done, I'm going to try and distract from it, and I'm going to do whatever I can. I'm going to have temper tantrums. I'm going to speak poorly about you. I'm going to distract from what I did. That's what I am trying to do. So what I would like to ask is, if we did more of these, are there subjects that people would like? We've kind of done an overview. Are there subjects that people would like have covered? I will figure out how to do this better. I'm not a techie, but I can figure this out. Are there subjects that you would like to have us address? Think about that and send us a little chat. I'm going to just close by kind of recapping the things that I want you to remember in terms of your healing. So number one is you got to understand people come with different paradigms and beliefs. Don't fall into the trap. I would never do that, so I can't imagine someone else would do that. They will. many of us get trapped by that. It never would occur to you to play by the rules that other people play do. They come with different rule books. Betrayal is often done by someone close to us, so we don't want to see the worst in them. Could be parents, spouses, children, friends. So we get into trouble by wanting to see the best in them and giving them another and yet another chance. The first step of getting through this is acknowledge it happened, break through the first stage of denial. And another thing I want to say, I didn't touch on this, but I will say this, it's easy to turn to drugs and alcohol, don't. You'll stay stuck, and there's nothing worse. That rumination, we all know that. You got to trick yourself into getting out of that. If you find yourself spending hours and hours of time, just remember you're just down in the swamp with them. and understand that people betraying you have created a story to justify their actions. Don't buy into that story. Okay, I am going to close. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. Again, if you want more or you would like us to do more of these, please let me know. Send us a Twitter or an email. And thank you for joining.